You've landed on Faith and Family here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your temporary host, Pastor Rod Zawantzer. I mean temporary, too, because come July 1, I'm out of here. We've got a brand new host coming on to replace our beloved Liz Hoffman. If you're out there, Liz, listening to this, our archive, we miss you, we love you, and blessings to you and all your family. And this is neat for me because this is probably my last live broadcast from this historic place, Studio A, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. If you haven't heard, we're moving, and we're all but moved, ready to launch a brand new studio complex at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That'll happen this coming Monday. That's June the 24th, beginning at 10 o'clock with a festive divine service in the chapel at the International Center. It's right conveniently located at the intersection of Interstate 44 and Lindbergh Boulevard or Kirkwood Road. I think it goes by both names there. And we'd love to have you in person. We'll have a little worship service with President Matt Harrison preaching, and then we'll process up to the studio complex, bless that real quick, and then have a reception. So you're all, if you're in the area, kindly invited to join us next Monday at 10 a.m. But if you can't be here in St. Louis, you can still take part in this. We're going to be broadcasting live from 10 to 11 on this historic moment. Such a rich history in this building. Start of so many great things. The building built in 1927, this very broadcast studio we're coming from today, since that date, which we pretty confident it's a world record. But we've got great new studio space out there, the greatest in everything, and all the people that we deal with on a daily basis, the newsmakers in Lutheranism from around the world will be right there. So we're excited about that. You know, always kind of the balanced emotions, sadness and happiness at the same time. So join us for that. Also join us on our Facebook page where you can enter your dad in our Wi-Fi giveaway program, a Wi-Fi radio. We give away one a month for the next year. Last month was in honor of moms, this month in honor of dads. All you got to do is go on our Facebook page, KFUO's Facebook page, and you'll see there the directions how to enter. It's easy, and your dad can win a beautiful Wi-Fi radio. This week, we're talking about in-laws, and our guest today is Dr. Melanie Wilson. She's a counselor here in the St. Louis area and been on our programs a number of times. So, Dr. Wilson, thanks for being our guest again.
It's my pleasure. I just hope that none of your listeners try to call me for counseling because I'm not practicing right now.
Ah, Superwoman is not counseling.
I'm not counseling. I haven't been for quite a while.
Okay.
It's strictly family now.
That's great. And you're an author as well. Tell us about this wonderful book. And I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Wilson on your great book. So tell us about your book, and then we can link them to the archive and how they can get one.
Sure. I wrote a book called So You're Not Wonder Woman, and it really tells the story of my own journey of really kind of turning away from God. I really wasn't walking with the Lord, and just everything that went wrong when I was off the path. And I'm finding a lot of women can really relate to what I am talking about in the book, about, you know, my finances fell apart. I was completely disorganized. My homemaking was not existent. I was just single, but I lived with piles of laundry and dirty dishes and just papers everywhere. I was very depressed at the time, and I was getting ready to fail school because I wasn't willing to really ask for help from anyone. You'd think that someone who was studying clinical psychology would know better, but I had a lot of pride.
Classic denial there, huh?
And I was just very prideful. I just thought, I can handle this on my own. I don't want anyone to know that I'm struggling. And then I was also overweight. I had an eating problem.
I can't believe that about you.
It was true.
I'd
it was
have to see the pictures.
I was not like obese, you know, to the point, you know, today we think of obesity as what we see on The Biggest Loser. You know, you've got to be 300 pounds, 400 pounds. And I was nowhere near that. That really wasn't the issue for me. It was an issue that I could not control my eating. I would say I'm not going to overeat, and
the
then I would.
Nerves and everything, anxiety, even
yes.
if it's in the background, takes over. Doesn't
yes,
it?
And yeah. and I had struggled with that in the past as well. And so I just discuss in the book the answers that I found. You know, I was hoping that psychology would provide the solutions to my many problems. And it failed to do that in every respect. And it was really only through turning back to the Lord and walking with Him. And even after I had gotten married, I married a Christian man who was also, he was a former Catholic who was not very tuned into the church at all. We started attending a Lutheran church, and we were more of the pew sitter type. You know, we would come in and then leave, and you know, we were happy, very happy to be a part of a church fellowship. But it really wasn't until we became convinced that God's word had the power to change our lives that
yeah.
that many of
God
those
meant
problems,
what he said, huh?
Right,
yeah.
and that. There are answers in there. I'm not saying that self-help books and psychology has nothing to offer us. I mean, I think they do, especially when it lines up with what God says in His Word. But the fundamental problems that we have, that I was having as a woman, could really only be solved with the wisdom of God and through a relationship with His Son Jesus. And that's really what I talk about in the book. And I've had a lot of women tell me that it was very life-changing for them to read the book. Mm-hmm. It helped them to stop looking for the next diet or the next program
yeah, the
to
next
solve
self-help
their problem.
Book,
right.
All of those.
Because that's what I was doing.
You know, I would offer, too, that as I read it preparing for the interview on Book Talk, that I found us males and myself in your story.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite the same, because mine wasn't
sure.
yours.
Right.
My life wasn't falling apart. Everything was going really good, except, mm-hmm. and it was going so good, you know, that I had my punch list for life, and everything was good. And I still said, I don't feel good about it.
Mm,
I was succeeding in everything. And I'm
yeah.
like, what's wrong with me? And you know
yeah.
what I found out? Mm. I left Jesus behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had him early on in my life, and then kind of mm-hmm. left him behind, got too busy.
Yeah.
And so your book touched me too, and I think it can touch males, females, anybody that kind of doesn't let Jesus be the Lord of their life.
Right.
Their Savior and the Lord, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to make it, you know, my book isn't a bunch of rules. And I think I definitely thought that that's what Christianity was, that a relationship with Jesus was about. You know, you just follow all these rules. You
yeah.
don't have any fun.
Yeah, that's right.
And
the eternal killjoy.
Exactly. And that wasn't
yeah.
what it was at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like, well, now I've arrived. You know, I continue to fall back on that self-reliant, self-made woman
right.
thing that I have
right.
going on. But at least I know, you know, when I get off course, I know what correction to make.
Sure, sure. That's great. And so we invite you out there to participate in this program. You can call with your comments or questions on in-laws or superwoman or superman problems, and we'll try to address them. We urge you, though, really, we can't diagnose what's going on with you over the radio and the internet lines. So we would urge you to really, whatever we would say in regards to advice, that you would go and find a good counselor in your area, or go talk to your pastor,
right.
And get that. But we'll give it our best. And so call in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or you can even email us at family@kfuo.org. Melanie, in-laws.
Uh-huh.
It's probably a topic that, you know, the guests that I've had on this week say that it's not one that's researched and written about much.
Right.
But it's really out there in spades in our lives and our families, isn't it?
It is.
And before going on, we talked about how, I know I always, when I was in the parish life and doing premarital counseling, I would always, I had a little device that I talked to each individual privately, and one of the questions I ask is, how do you get along with his family or her family, you know, brothers, sisters, mom, all the whole kit and caboodle. Premarital is a, really a time to start to figure out, you're with this expanded family that's going to come pretty fast and quickly, what you're looking at.
So you
were talking to that, you did some work on that too.
I did premarital counseling at my church for over a decade, so I got to have a lot of experience with it. And I have found, and actually the research is very supportive of this too, that after money issues, in-law problems rank right up there. I can't say that they're absolutely number two, but they're very high in terms of causing a lot of marital distress and that can lead to divorce. And I've seen plenty of examples of that. And I think there are a number of issues that go into that. First is when you're someone who's about to get married, without even realizing it, you can go into marriage hoping and expecting that your fiancé's family is going to meet the needs that your own family didn't meet, or maybe that other relationships aren't meeting in your life. You know, dad's going to be, you know, my father-in-law is going to be the dad that I never had. My mother-in-law is going to be the, you know, the mom that does the things that my mom didn't do.
And fill the voids then.
Exactly. And the siblings are going to be my best friends. And, you know, there's just these pie in the sky expectations that I don't think we even realize that we have. So, I mean, just asking, you know, how do you get along? I mean, I've done this long enough to know that they always say, oh, great, great. And, you know, maybe they really do, because it's, you know, there's all this excitement about the wedding and everybody's on their best behavior. And you aren't even really aware of all the expectations that you are taking with you into the marriage that's bound to lead to disappointment. By the same token, we can also come into marriage with some really negative expectations that can lead to problems too. So, you know, maybe you're just very suspicious that your mother-in-law is going to be interfering. And so any little thing that she says or does, you're going to overreact to it, because you have this mindset, an expectation that you're going to have problems. And, you know, the same thing with other relationships. So it's so important to really talk about and think about what your expectations are. Usually those are based in past experiences. And it's so good to get those out on the table when you're planning to get married. And by the same token, I know that we have a lot of people listening who maybe you have adult children who are getting married or are already married, and maybe you already have some difficulties in those relationships with your child's spouse. And it's just so critically important to just talk openly. I can tell you about a situation that it was just really tragic in my own family. I won't mention names, but my sweet, and I really mean that, I adored my mother-in-law and I adored my father-in-law, and they're now both in heaven with the Lord. But I think they had no idea, and I wish that a conversation would have taken place. They had no idea, and this is not my husband, but another one of their sons, that anything that his parents would say to him, he would go ahead and do, even if it contradicted what he and his wife had already agreed upon. And so it created, and my in-laws had no idea that he was, you know, contradicting what his wife had said that she wanted, and that he was just taking everything that they said so literally and just doing it. And of course, it created huge amounts of resentment between their daughter-in-law and them. And if a conversation would have taken place, I know my in-laws well enough to know that they would have said, okay, you know, we will be cautious about saying that. And before we say any, give any kind of advice or make suggestions, we're going to say, have you talked about this with your wife?
Sure.
Because we don't want to interfere. And I think, you know, wherever you are in that process, I think so much good can happen if you just have an open, honest conversation about, you know, listen, we want your marriage to succeed. And if we're doing anything that is creating conflict between the two of you, we want to stop that. We don't want our son or our daughter to get a divorce.
Sure.
We would hate that. It would be horrible for us too. So even if we might like to have more control over our son or daughter, we are willing to take a step back. And if we cross the boundary, you need to remind us and
let us know.
And we will respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would save so much stress in marriages.
Sounds like you're saying that as it is in most cases, good, honest, clear communication
right.
is really a great deterrent and proactive, isn't
right.
it?
Right. You know, it's been a number of years since I've done premarital counseling, but now looking back at so many problems that occurred after the fact, I would now, if I were going into it again, I would now bring the in-laws in for at least a session to talk about all of these things and just say, you know, do you, and maybe even talk with them privately. Do you have concerns about, you know, the person that your son or daughter is marrying? And let's talk those out.
Get them out on the table now.
Let's talk about how you can manage those so that you don't create a bigger problem in the marriage.
Sure. And you know, that's a good, very good point you're bringing up. I think sometimes, you know, parents aren't given the chance, opportunity to even talk about it with their own child,
right.
what they think of the mate,
right.
the spouse.
Right.
And that can be really destructive then, because there's always going to be that lingering
right.
Opinion mm-hmm. of the new
yes.
you know, wife or husband of your beloved child.
Right.
I liked what you were doing with that too. That too many a times expectations can get in the way.
We right.
some people live in that dream world, and they're always fantasizing about some new scenario that is going to make everything like a magic wand.
Right.
And hit it, and everything's going to be great. And that's mm-hmm. not reality most of the time, is it?
No, it isn't. And even if you are the mother or father-in-law, or even you're the sister-in-law or the brother-in-law of the new family member, your expectations can cause a problem too. You know, if
sure.
if your son just married a woman and your idea is that she's going to be the daughter that you never had, and you're going to be so close, and, you know, maybe she already has a really close relationship with her mother. She's just not that open to having that really close relationship with you. I mean, that's disappointing.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, give up on the relationship entirely. It means that you have to adjust your expectations and just really feed off of the feedback that she's giving you. You know, how can you be the best supportive mother-in-law that you can be in that situation? And I know it can be so disappointing and so hurtful at times. And I think it's appropriate to say, you know, it does hurt my feelings when you come into town, for example, and, you know, you're spending 90% of your time with your family, and, you know, we're getting 10% of the time. You know, I'm not trying to cause conflict about that, but I'm just wondering if there's anything that we can do that would make you feel like you wanted to spend more time over here. You know, because otherwise what happens is then you go to your son and you say, you know, why are you doing this? And you know, maybe he's saying, well, it's her, you know, she doesn't want to. Well, that's going to create all kinds of hard feelings towards your daughter-in-law.
A wedge in between everybody, right?
It's just not good.
No,
you know, just
no.
to... You know, I've always appreciated how flexible my mother has been in my own marriage. You know, she's just said, you know, whenever we can do get together for holidays, that's okay with me. It doesn't have to be on the day. And I hear really some horror stories about in-laws who are not that way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they're not willing to be accommodating or understanding.
Yeah. Or, and I think you're talking, too, about accepting – this man or woman as the husband and wife of your, and treating them just like you would a son or a daughter.
Right.
You know, I know my parents with my beloved wife, and she, if she's out there, she'll start giggling and laughing because she knows it's true. My parents would go overboard to say, we like you better than we do wrong. And I took that the way they give it, knowing my parents.
Right.
They meant you're like our daughter.
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
They always treated her like that. You
Isn't
know?
That
and,
wonderful?
They would love ganging up on me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, we all like to play golf, and so my mom would always say, let's put some money today on who's going to get the better score. And Bonnie, all our money is on you.
Right.
And so, you know, on the last hole, you know, they're rooting, Rod, hit it out of bounds, hit it out of bounds. And I was like, you're my own flesh and blood. But I love that they went overboard to accept my wife as one of the family. And, you know, that's a nice way to be, isn't it?
It is.
To let them know. And you know, certainly we could all say that, you know, we're all same time saints and sinners.
Absolutely.
And we try, but I like where you're taking us is that we've really got to talk and clear the air, because keeping it to yourself or only talking to some of the parties that are part of it gets you all kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can manage it, but we don't manage it very well, do we?
No. And denial, I tell this to everyone about just about any topic. Denial is the most destructive thing that you can allow in your family of whatever configuration.
Right.
And
it'll go away or
just
it's
don't
so
talk
bad.
About it.
Yeah.
Just don't talk about it.
That's an untouchable topic. We don't go there.
And it feeds the fire. It feeds it. And you've got to stop that. I know no one really wants to dredge these things up, but until you just talk them out and identify the miscommunications, because there are miscommunications.
Sure.
That are happening, then you're going to be in trouble.
Wow. And you know, one of the things I've been sharing all week, because I think it's kind of true, you know, that comedians, they have a field day with mother-in-law jokes.
Yes.
And I think mother-in-laws get unfairly picked on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of one's family that a lot of times makes problems. It can not only be mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother, sister-in-law, friends-in-law, that really cause strain on this marriage. And, you know, the Bible says you leave all that and create this new family that's important, but you still honor and respect love your family.
Right.
It's just the roles change and the relationships God wants to change, doesn't he?
Right.
And people to respect and honor that.
Yeah. I think it's so helpful and important to put yourself in the other family member's position. One of the things that made me know for sure that I was marrying the right man is that when my husband and I went to my home and he proposed when I was at home, my mother was not very fond of him. And the main reason was because she knew he was going to take me away from her.
Yeah,
she lived in South Dakota. We were in Missouri. She was not happy about that at all.
That far away.
Not at all. Right. And she was honestly really, really rude to him. It was bad. I was embarrassed. But
did she voice that, Melanie, or just keep it to herself?
She kept it to herself and was just, you know, would make these comments.
and he's wondering what?
No, you know what? No.
No?
He didn't. On the way home, I was so upset, and I just said, you know, I'm so sorry that she was acting like that. It's just terrible. And he said, I totally understand.
Wow.
I'm taking you away from her, and she's afraid, and she's threatened. And you know what he did? He loved on her in the way that he knew he could feel that she needed. I mean, all he did was like brag on her cooking. Well, that is the way to my mother's heart. And I mean, it was genuine too.
Yeah,
but you know, now she loves him.
Yeah,
she loves him a lot. And you know, I just was so impressed by him not reacting, responding in kind to her unkindness.
And isn't that, Dr. Wilson, really the Christian weapon?
It is.
You know, the world, you know, exchanges hatred for hatred.
Right.
You do something to me, well, I'll get back at you.
Right.
But love is a great weapon.
It is.
And your husband really used that early on, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And he won the war.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about in-laws on the other side of this break. So stick with us here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Susan G. Komen Foundation ignited a huge controversy after announcing they were ending funding of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills. A few days later, they caved into intense pressure and recanted the decision. Ever since, Komen has seen a declining donor base because the enormous controversy alerted pro-lifers everywhere that Komen funded Planned Parenthood. Now, Komen has announced their canceling fundraising walks next year in seven major cities: Phoenix, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. will not be hosting the event. Komen should have stuck to their initial decision to not fund part of the abortion industry. They could have weathered the storm and picked up tens of thousands of pro-life donors and helped even more women.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
It's all about time. Time to finish a project or watch a game. Time's not only a luxury, it's critical during an emergency.
911, what's your emergency?
When you call 911, Missouri's new emergency medical care system provides quick response and higher quality care for trauma, stroke, and heart attack. 911 can be the difference between a hospital bed, a nursing home, or going home. Minutes matter. Call 911. A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor is easy in the 21st century. First, pick a reason to celebrate, a birthday, an anniversary, or other event, and call me, Mary Schmidt, or Joni Harwell at 1-800-844-0524. For helping support the worldwide outreach of KFUO, you'll receive announcements on KFUO for a special date honoring your day sponsorship. Call us at 1-800-844-0524.
After 86 years of continuous broadcast operations from the world's oldest broadcast studio, we'll close these doors and begin a new chapter in the history of KFUO. We'll begin broadcasting from our brand new studios on Monday, June 24th, and you're invited to a special 10 a.m. dedication service and reception at our new location in the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So join us in person or on the radio Monday, June 24th at 10 a.m. as we continue to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world.
Hundreds of people have rallied outside the U.S. Capitol to protest abuses by the Internal Revenue Service. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul told the rally organized by Tea Party patriots he was
horrified that my government has gotten out of control and is persecuting people for their religious and their political beliefs.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz declared
the IRS has no business asking any American, what are the content of your prayers?
Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert told the crowd,
I think our prayers are being answered. People are awakening. A majority of people are saying, we don't trust the government.
Talk show host Glenn Beck said,
the only difference between Las Vegas and Washington, D.C. is at least Vegas has the decency to admit it's full of crooks and hookers.
Speakers at the rally called for the IRS to be abolished and replaced with a flat tax. I'm Steve Coleman.
We are so pleased and privileged that you stick with us here on Faith and Family, because I think we're talking about a topic today, a family topic, that's really important. In-laws, it's something that we probably don't talk about enough. And, you know, off mic, Dr. Wilson and I were talking how I think pastors and counselors hear this problem quite frequently, mm-hmm. More frequently than even people would even suspect. And Dr. Wilson, you were saying that, you know, you still get that for some friends and associates that talk to you about in-law issues.
Right. I was saying that you know, people in my church know that I'm a psychologist, and I really don't get that many phone calls, which I appreciate. people don't take advantage of me, but the phone calls that I have had invariably are, my son is married to this woman, and she's causing all these problems, or vice versa, and I don't know what to do, what should I do? And that is really, I think, such a universal problem that people have. When someone is really making mistakes and causing all kinds of problems, and we want to help them, we want to kind of lead them to change, but we don't know how to go about it. And a lot of times we go about it the wrong way. And it's really, really difficult to just talk to somebody and make them change. I mean, and you can recognize that. Everyone can recognize that in their own lives. Like when I was really living the way I was when I was in graduate school, if someone had sat me down and said, you know, here's where you're messing up, it's pretty clear, I would not have taken kindly to that.
Yeah, I already knew some of that.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
I would have been very angry at the person. I would have rejected it, and it could have kept me from discovering it as soon as I did. Because, you know, we have, many of us at least, have that rebellious personality, and we kind of want to push back, and that's why God is just so fantastic at being able to help us see the truth in a way that we can hear it and appreciate it. And so I don't think you want to take it upon yourself to try to be someone's counselor, especially if they're your family member. You know, as a counselor myself, as a psychologist, I really had an easy role because everyone who came to me was coming to me for advice and counsel. They expected me to tell them, this is what you're doing wrong, and this is what I advise you to do in the future. If that's the biggest mistake. You know, if your current daughter-in-law isn't coming to you saying, what do I do? What do I do? Then don't tell them what to do, because it's going to be seen as being controlling and overbearing.
Don't offer advice unless you're asked. And even sometimes then, refrain.
Be careful. Be very careful. And, you know, kind of going back to the premarital stage, I think so many of us as parents, we have to be very careful. And I even have to be careful of this now that I have teenagers who are interested in girls. You know, I might say, well, I don't like this, I don't like that about this person. Well, what if he marries her? He's going to remember that. And then, God forbid, what if he tells her that I said that? Mm-hmm. And that has happened so many times. That's just really foolish, but it happens.
Where
your son or daughter shares what you have said about them with their spouse to be, or their, now their spouse, and it can create such hard feelings that are so difficult to overcome. Mm-hmm. So what's better to say to someone who is in a relationship, even if they're already married, is not to say, well, I don't like that he's doing this or she's doing that, or about, I don't like this about that person, but to ask them more questions, to say, well, when your wife does this, what could you do? What could you do that makes it better? Or as a psychologist, I will often ask, when is it better? When do you notice that you get along better? What are you doing at those times? And let's increase those things. Then they're not going to be angry or upset with you. And always give your child's spouse the benefit of the doubt. You know, one other issue. I think so many times we tend to take, no matter what kind of a relationship issue we're dealing with, we tend to take it personally. It's all about me. So if I'm the mother-in-law and my daughter-in-law isn't wanting to spend time with me, well, then she doesn't like me. You know, she's rejecting me. When it may have absolutely nothing to do with that. I am aware of circumstances where an in-law, like a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law, isn't willing to spend time with the family, not because the family's doing anything wrong, but because there is marital conflict going on. And it's a way of kind of punishing, you know, the spouse and saying, well, I'm not going to go and be with your family today. It may have nothing to do. You may think, you know, what did I do? What did I do the last time we were together? And it probably has nothing to do with that. It may be a sign, it's a serious sign, that there's conflict going on mm-hmm. between the two of them. Or there are some other issues. You know, I know sometimes I know of a daughter-in-law who's, you know, she feels such a pull to be with her family because they're elderly and she's afraid of losing them and she doesn't want to miss any opportunities to be with them. Now, you know, should she also balance that with spending time with you? Yes, but she's not. And you can understand why because of where she's at emotionally.
Right.
You know, then the other issue, which we haven't really hinted at, is when someone calls. I mean, we've hinted already at loving on them. I mean, huge. It's just huge. Whenever you're with them, compliment them, praise them, encourage them. My mother-in-law did that for me. My in-laws came from a higher social status than my family did. I was very intimidated about that. I actually bought a used wedding gown. I had no money, and my family didn't. I bought a used wedding gown, and I was terrified to admit that. I never did. I never did admit that. I did later to my sisters-in-law. But my mother-in-law on my wedding day said, "I think this is the most beautiful wedding gown I have ever seen."
Oh, wow.
I mean, she had no idea
what that did
yeah. for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
she didn't know that it was used, but secondhand, but she was telling me, you know, "I so approve of your taste." I mean,
wow.
And you know, it just meant the world to me.
That,
so
that
you
started
can do
a great
that.
Bonding between the two
it
of
did.
You. It
did. Yeah. And she would take me out for lunch. I mean, I would do that, you know, build that relationship one-on-one with those in-laws. I just did something with my sister-in-law, invited me out, paid for my ticket to go see Patsy Cline, the musical, which was just incredible. That's off topic, but that meant so much to me. That was wonderful, you mm-hmm. know, to take that time to solidify that relationship. And then the other huge key that can do even more than just loving on them is just praying. It is amazing what God can do in response to prayer.
And he loves to hear us pouring that out about our in-laws and other issues, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Yeah.
Just to say, you know, "Lord, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I've tried it all. I've been really loving. I've been really nice. I've been really accommodating. And still, this person is rejecting me. Still, this person is doing things that's hurting my son or daughter, hurting maybe my grandkids, and I'm so upset about it. I know I don't have control, and if I try to control it, I'm probably going to make things worse. So, Lord, here you go. I know that this son or daughter of mine is yours. I know that this sister-in-law is yours. They belong to you, and I know you know what to do. And, Lord, keep me from saying things that I shouldn't say. Keep me from trying to control when I shouldn't. And just help me just to keep loving and just to keep trusting you." And, you know, I just posted on my blog recently. I loved this. Someone else, I basically promote what other people write on their blogs that I find inspiring on my blog, The Inspired Day. And someone had talked about, it was actually a devotion that someone had sent me. And he talked about God basically is the slow cooker type. And so I kind of rewrote that, and I said God uses a crock pot. You know, when we want microwave cooking, and he's using a crock pot instead.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone would say that microwave cooking is more satisfying than crock pot cooking. There's just something about things made in a crock pot.
Yeah.
I mean, they smell
flavors.
Good all day.
Yeah, all those flavors
and they just
marrying
it
together.
Just falls apart. It's just it's incredible.
Yeah.
And God is using a crock pot on our families, and we've got to be patient. We've got to be patient and wait for him to work.
You know, we were talking yesterday, Melanie, about that very thing that, you know, if we look to God's lead in these relationships, how patient he is with us.
Yes.
And how long-suffering he is with and loving.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about that, and I thought, you know, I do pretty well except for the long-suffering part. And, you know, I get to, like, medium suffering, and I'm like, I've had enough.
Right.
right? And then I said, break it off. And then it's like, Rod, you need to go back in and say you were wrong, and I'm going back on the long-suffering side. Because
right.
that can move mountains and change relationships, can't it?
It can.
Yeah, and I've seen examples of that, heard examples, and likely you too. And so sometimes we've got to be in it for the long haul
right.
with relationships, just like our Lord is for us.
Right. And realizing that it's almost always not about us. If someone is, you know, doing something hurtful, you know, it feels rejecting, it feels personal, mm-hmm. but it probably isn't. It's probably mm-hmm. because of their own inner turmoil. They're struggling in their other relationships. They're feeling insecure, not worthwhile, and it's all coming out where it feels like it's about you, but it's not.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I hadn't thought of this a long time, and if any of my family's out there listening, they'll know exactly who I'm talking about. But one of my favorite aunts, I was even a teenager when she started dating this guy she married, and we were very suspect. In fact, you know how kids can be as teenagers. She's kind of mean-spirited, so he was the brunt of a lot of jokes, and his just mannerisms were such that he was so different and so unique to the family, and I think part of the problem was he so loved this family because they were very loving, very close, and that probably filled the void mm-hmm. from him and his own family life.
Right.
And so I think it was like that loving too much, too hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rest of my life, boy, he was always just very interested, but very controlling, very opinionated.
Mm.
And at times we just really clashed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the long-suffering one had to come in there for me.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I learned to do one thing, I think, that really came out of that for me. And I just loved him more and more because of it.
Right.
I would always think about his redeeming characteristics
mm-hmm.
and traits.
So
and that,
important.
And start to overwhelm the other stuff. It wouldn't solve him. I mean, when he'd flare up with his worst ones,
right.
it would flip my switch really fast.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I would be repentant.
Right.
You know? But it teaches us a lot about ourselves, does it
yes,
not?
Yes, right.
And about our God and about sinners mm-hmm. that we are and getting along in
right.
a sinful world. And
yeah.
Loving as God would have us to love each other.
And you make a really important point. I think it can be really helpful to realize, you know, I think a lot of times we think, oh, why do I have to deal with this, you know, really difficult person? Oh, woe is me. But we have to recognize that God has most likely brought that person into your life for a reason, and not just so that they can be changed and influenced
right.
by you,
good point.
But so that you can change.
Yeah, it's a two-way street there, isn't it?
Right.
Not just one way for you, God, to get to a channel to this person. It's back
right.
at you, too.
Right. You know, so if you've got a difficult in-law, you think, oh, you know, this person just needs to change. Well, maybe you need to be less controlling. Another issue that I was thinking about that tends to go along with the denial we were mentioning earlier is sometimes an in-law makes a very good scapegoat for all of the negative feelings that you have about your own immediate family. So it's not, you know, it's not that my son is rejecting me and not, you know, not willing to kind of take a stand and say, I want to go spend some time with my family. It's my daughter-in-law, and if it wasn't for her, you know, everything would be great. Well, probably not so much.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
not so much. But it can help us feel better short-term to think, oh, it's not my son, it's not my daughter, it's this person that they married.
And pile everything on.
Right, right.
Including your own, you know, issues and anxieties at the moment.
Right.
Put them on them because they deserve it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're convenient and a good target.
Oh, they are.
For all of this most
right.
of the time.
Right. Right.
So I really like that that emphasis that loving on them, I think was the
mm-hmm.
phrase you used,
mm-hmm.
is just a good strategy to approach all this. And
it is.
And I also like that where you're taking us is that we have a reflection in them of ourselves a lot of the times.
Yeah,
I find that in myself so much of the time, my deficiencies and my own shortcomings, mm-hmm. you know, they annoy me so much.
Right.
And I would like to stop them. I'd like to change them. And I know where to get rid of them, give it
right.
to the cross.
Right.
But boy, sometimes I will just take it out
yeah.
on the closest loved one around me, right? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. strangers, we're not going to show them that side.
No.
You always hurt the ones you love.
Right.
Type of thing.
Right.
So in-laws fall into that, don't they?
They do.
Sometimes.
They do. And especially as time goes on, you know, you feel more comfortable with letting it all hang out.
Yeah. And, you know, I had this great thing happen, Melanie, and I'm going to remember this for a long time. It's one of the neatest things that happened in my year in this building. My office is upstairs, and I have a window air conditioner up there. And all of a sudden, I look one day, beautiful robin's nest with four beautiful of those blue robin eggs. And so yeah. I'm watching it, and I see the mama robin come in and sit on those so diligently. And I'm like, this is so cool, and I'm watching this. And they hatch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm taking pictures and putting it on Facebook and everything. And before my eyes, boy, they just, within about a week and a half, they're beautiful, mm-hmm. young, big robins.
Yeah.
And three of them fly away, and the fourth one stays. And I watch, well, they can abandon them. Mm-hmm. Now, mom and dad are still bringing back berries and mm-hmm. worms and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me, my dad constantly would talk to me about the home being that nest.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved having us there. Mm-hmm. He said, Rod, there's going to be a day, and it's coming pretty quick. In high school, he kept telling me, it's coming pretty quick.
Right.
When your mom and I are going to kick you out. We're going
right.
to hate to see you go.
Right.
But for your own good. And
right.
you're going to go start your own nest.
Right.
And Rod, you come back, visit every now and then, but you can't
yeah.
stay long.
Right.
And, you know, I always remembered that. And then my dad mm-hmm. would come to me even later in life, and he would say, Rod, you know, your mom and I, we just can't handle the young kids very much anymore. I think the time has come, you know, for the end of the visit. And it just broke my heart, and I couldn't understand it then. Mm-hmm. I understand it more now. And he was very nice about it. And I really like that image.
Mm-hmm.
That you're always welcome back at the nest, but you can't stay here.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then it was always, he would always talk to me about when he was in my nest, about respecting my nest.
Hmm.
And he wouldn't want to be the big robin. He said, you're the big robin.
Aw, that's nice.
And, you know, Bonnie, she's Mrs. Robin.
Right.
And I learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, my dad's been gone now about 6 years, and it just was so clear that the little talk that my dad did, and it made so much sense to me.
Right.
And for so many ways. And probably a really good, you know, thing to do about all our relationships, that we respect change relationships. And in-laws are really get mm-hmm. to that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a change relationship where
right.
the, you know, we talk about the proverbial apron strings need to be cut.
Right.
But still, strong relationships between
mm-hmm.
everybody. Sometimes I would even talk to my parents about how, as we get older, our relationship changed and matured and strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have the control that they mm-hmm. used to over me.
Right.
And I loved
right.
them even more for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, they're more. They become mentors. They do.
So
that's great that you had that example.
Yeah. You were talking about people frequently having in-law problems.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest one you can think of? Can you
yeah.
compartmentalize into one big area that people might have in-law
problems? I would
problems?
Say in-laws, mother and father-in-laws continuing to wield control in the marriage relationship, at least attempting to, yeah. And it just creates huge problems, especially if you have, you know, a child who just really, really wants to honor you, and they get really confused about, well, mom and dad, mom or dad sometimes says to do this, but my wife is saying to do this. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm so used to going with what, you know, my mom and dad say. And so it's hard for certain personalities to really break that connection.
Break
you know,
that,
I talked
sure.
about that in my family, the son who really struggled with that. He just has a problem with that in general. You know, just being really assertive and saying, this is what I think. Because a lot of times he doesn't really know what he thinks.
It's just what he's used to. And
he just kind of goes with what the authorities in his life tell him to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, that can be fantastic. When the Lord tells him to do something, he's going to do it.
Right.
But when two people that he loves are in conflict, if he didn't get the message, and apparently he didn't, at the beginning of his marriage, that, you know, your loyalties have now shifted from parents, you know, as much as possible, if you can honor your parents, that's great. But when it comes to what kind of wedding ring to get, or what kind of house to buy, or car, or what to do with your career,
or where to live, or any
of those things. That's now a relationship, a marital decision, and not, you know, if your wife feels comfortable with you going and, you know, asking your parents for input, that's great. But see, that's when it goes back to, now I wish I had thought of this a long time ago when I was doing the premarital counseling, you know, to have a conversation with the entire family.
Sure,
and
sure.
Say, let's talk about holidays. I mean, that's like a huge issue.
Oh, sure.
Huge.
Who's going to have the grandkids for Christmas if they live in different places or even in the same city? How many, who gets what part of the Christmas day?
How
right?
are we going to work that out?
Yeah.
Are people flexible?
Sure.
And do you understand that if you're not flexible, the kind of anxiety and tension that that's going to create for us? You know, do you understand that making these kinds of decisions about house and furniture and decorating and, you know, all of these kinds of things have to be our decision? You know, we want to honor you by getting feedback from both sides when that makes sense, you know, but you have to let us make our own choices and even our own mistakes.
I was going to say, room to grow and mature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that's something I'm struggling with, having a teenager. It's like, I don't want that. I don't want my child, any of my children, to make the mistakes that I did. And so you tend to kind of over control. And it's like, okay, you know, I've got to let you make them.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Even if, and especially difficult, as you were saying, with same mistakes that you might have made at their age.
Right.
And watch them go through it.
Right.
And you say, the comfort I always have is, Rod, the Lord brought you through it and kind of did some stuff. So give them the chance too.
Exactly.
You know, like with my son-in-law, he's just such a great guy. And there's times that the way he acts would not be the way that I would act.
Sure.
And it's really difficult when it's grandkids.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
For me to sit there and just watch.
Right.
And I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You've got
and,
to.
I think he's never said it, but I can kind of see that he senses that I'm maybe at times, you know, because body language kind of tends to give it away.
Yeah.
And so you got to be careful with
that. You've got to be very careful with that.
And
that's where that affirming.
I, back to what your excellent point about communication. I've told him at times, you know, you can easily suspect that I wouldn't do it exactly the way you are, but I want to tell you something. You're doing a fantastic job.
So that's wonderful.
With my grandkids,
wonderful.
With my daughter, and I can't thank God enough for you.
Aww.
And so you just keep on doing what you're doing.
Love and covers I, over
yeah,
a multitude
that loving,
of sins,
that
doesn't
loving
it?
Them, that loving them in, mm-hmm. in you know, refrain. From
refrain.
Giving the advice.
yes.
And
you know, to go with that, if you feel like your son or daughter has made a mistake in whom they've chosen to marry, that's over.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, you committed at their wedding to help them keep this marriage together. So that's what you need to be all about now.
Isn't it nice? Somebody was saying that the in-laws could do some vows, minor vows, in the rite about how they're going to treat the family.
Wow!
You know,
that would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I know. In Brady Bunch marriages, I like to call them.
right.
I've asked them if they did that, if they want to bring both sets of kids in and say, "I'm going to treat this one as my new mom, my new dad."
Well, I love it.
Yeah. Dr. Wilson, thanks for being my last guest live.
And
we love your support of KFUO. We look forward to having you out the new studios.
Okay.
Blessings on your retired counseling, but still doing it, and your great books, your homeschooling, everything else. God richly go with you and bless you.
Thank you so much.
Join us again tomorrow. We'll be taped, and then next week we'll be broadcasting live for the first time on Tuesday, recording up to that. God go with you, bless you. Return here on Faith and Family.